a great voice from heaven began to say, the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. When does the reign of the Christ start? With which trumpet? Seventh trump. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. We'll be changed. The corruptible will put on incorruption. The mortal will put on immortality. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Which trump is that? First, fourth, seventh trump. When the seventh angel sounds the trumpet, then the mystery of God is finished. Then the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Which trump? Seventh trump, which is the which last trump. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, Revelation chapter 11 and so forth, it all says the same thing. It's also in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Now we find this is the story about candlesticks and olive trees. The candlesticks and olive trees are to give forth a brilliant message. They're to give forth a message 1,260 days. 1,260 divided by 30 is how many months? 42 months, and 42 months is how many years? 3.5 years. It's all the same. 1260, 42, times, and a half a time. You know, all these, Daniel, all this, it's all the same, 3.5. So in this 3.5 periods of time, first, they're to stand up giving a brilliant testimony. In 3.5 periods of time, they're to fall over dead. Then, they're to be dead. And in 3.5 periods of time, they're to come up. And in 3.5 periods of time, they'll be raptured. They'll go up to heaven in a cloud. You got the picture? Basically, that's what it's about. Now, out of the book of Revelation, those who have been with us and studied the book of Revelation, you'll remember a couple of things about what we believe concerning this book. For instance, in the first seal, that was when the gospel first went forth. How many have had an opportunity to read our white book, The Key to the Book of Revelation? Let's see your hands. Okay, that's most everybody. In the white book, The Key to the Book of Revelation, we show in detail, and those who haven't got it, you already get it and read it, that the first seal was opened in 30 A.D. The second seal was destruction of Jerusalem, 70 A.D. The third one was when when Constantine killed the church, 380 A.D. The fourth one brought the Dark Ages and so forth down the line. In fact, you remember in the fourth one, it tells you that death rode the horse, hell followed, he had a big sword in his hand and could kill one-fourth the earth. How many remember that? Book of Revelation. Well, it also tells you in an encyclopedia, when you look up bubonic plague, during the Dark Ages, it killed one-fourth the earth. See? Dark Ages. But the third seal was opened in 380 AD. I'll get that right in a minute now. The third seal was opened in 380 AD. And it was when Theodosius killed the church. The church started in 30 AD. From 30 to 380 is how many years? 380 and subtract 30. 350 years. It told you that it'll be giving forth a brilliant message, and in 3.5 periods of time, it'll fall over dead. Isn't that what you just read? Revelation chapter 11. That it would give forth a brilliant message, and 3.5 periods of time, it'll fall over dead. And isn't that what happened in the third seal? Theodosius killed the church. That brought on the what? Dark Ages. We went through the Dark Ages, got to the fifth seal, the Renaissance, Restoration. We're in that right now. We're ready for the opening of the sixth seal. The third seal was that period of time spoken of in the book of Revelation when the church fell over dead. This is a special message and a special messenger. And he's giving us a message or picture of the church. The church originally was giving forth a brilliant light. How many remember reading something about the marvelous brilliant light that the church gave forth? It was so bright, in fact, that Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. And even Peter could walk along holding out his hand to make a bigger shadow. Why? Why would Peter want to make a bigger shadow? Yeah, more people. They were trying to get more people under, so that even if his very shadow might probably... Do you remember the story? Book of Acts? Great, marvelous power, light, as the Holy Spirit going through the branches gave off a light. In fact, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was manifest by tongues of over each one of them. Were they burning? What was burning? The Holy Spirit was the power source. The Holy Spirit was creating the light. They weren't burning their wicks. No offense, friends. But listen, you can't build a spiritual church by offering bicycles as a prize for Sunday school attendance. It just doesn't work. Oh, yes, you can bring some kids in for a few weeks. But as soon as the bicycles quit, the kids quit. I know what I'm talking about because I've been in churches where we tried to build our attendance with this little fancy gadget and offering radios and bicycles and all the other things for so many weeks and so many, bringing so many visitors and these little prizes and all that. You know what you start when you do that? You start a house of merchandise that has to be completely built on prizes, and when you run out of prizes, you run out of people. But when the Holy Spirit is in a place, people will come no matter how many bicycles you don't offer. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit moving upon men, blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hear, the changes that are taking place. Right now we've noticed that we're in a change of attitude, change of mind. Minds are being changed. The Word of God is making more sense to people than it ever has before. Ideas, attitudes are shaping up as we're either going to shape up or ship out. We believe the sixth seal is about to open, should be, maybe open right now. And during this time, it's either shape up or ship out. You're going to... And we mean in spirit, soul, and body, everybody. We got to, in other words, spirit, soul, and body, we got to be saved all the way around, don't we? I'm not looking at anybody right now. I'm not trying to single anybody out. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But we're going to have to shape up spirit, soul, and body. Because these are the bodies that are going to be alive and remain the coming of the Lord. These are going to go on into the next age. And He said we're going to sit with Him in His throne. Isn't that what Jesus said? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in My Father's throne. It's going to be crowded there, so you better shape up. We're going to sit in the throne. And you know what throne that is? That's the throne of God. To those that overcome. Now, we have never claimed to be all the way manifested as overcomers. The most we claim is that we're candidates for all the steps that God is putting us through. I want to go through every step, don't you? I want to be an overcomer. I want to have the opportunity to sit in that throne, to rule and reign with Christ for that 1,000-year period. To me, this is a tremendous, tremendous goal, vision, opportunity. And that's what I want. In the book of Revelation, we believe that 350 have gone from the first to the third seal. Now it tells us that if we'll look and study what it is that these candlesticks are and these olive trees and the all of the Holy Spirit that keeps them going, and in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, we find a further and more complete explanation of the same thing. Zechariah chapter 4. Now, if you're looking for Zechariah, you go to Matthew, and I'm not kidding this time. Start with Matthew and go two left. Two books to the left, and what do you got? Zechariah. Okay. Yeah. It also saves time. Zechariah chapter 4. Now, Zechariah will answer the question, Who are the olive trees? Who are the candlesticks? What is their destiny? And what do we expect them to do? Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The way you're looking right now, some of you sing that song. How many have sung, Not by might? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it, the headstone. A mountain, a headstone. Grace, grace unto the headstone. Who is the stone the builders rejected? Jesus Christ. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Well, you know who the eyes of the Lord are. The eyes of the Lord are the seven spirits, are the seven churches, are the seven candlesticks, are the... Well, who are they? Where are they? In Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. But it says they'll run to and fro throughout the what? Whole earth. And, praise God, one of them was just up in Big Run, Pennsylvania last night, yesterday, in one of the big churches up there. Some of the eyes of the Lord have been, well, where you been lately? Where you been lately? Down at Mannheim and Mount Joy, and there's another one from Elizabethtown, and there's some from Hershey, from Mechanicsburg, and even Skyview, and don't tell me the eyes of the Lord are on Round Top, me. How about that? Running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Just got a call last night from one of the eyes of the Lord. This one came up from, of all places, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Hitchhiked and took a bus and buses from Rio de Janeiro all the way to Harrisburg through the whole South, then through the Central, and now he called me from Detroit, and he said, Brother Ebar, you remember when you were down in Brazil and you lit such a fire? I've got to come and talk to you. We had a letter from him several months ago saying he was starting his journey, and I didn't really expect him to call. But here he is, Lord willing. Some of the eyes of the Lord that are running to and fro throughout the whole earth will be arriving here in Harrisburg this Wednesday to talk more on some of these lessons, especially the one on spirit, soul, and body, which is making such a tremendous, tremendous change throughout South America. In fact, such a change that they tell me that some of the people from Argentina have recently come up teaching the same lesson, spirit, soul, and body. And we left a lot of literature, and he feels this literature should be in the Portuguese language, the language of Brazil. The Spanish down in Argentina, apparently, they'll get their chance with it too. So there are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Well, you just read in Revelation that these candlesticks are standing in front of the Lord of the whole earth. Didn't you just read that? And in Zechariah, candlesticks and olive trees. But in Zechariah, we get more information, for we find that there are two candlesticks and two olive trees standing before the Lord of the whole earth, connected with two golden pipes. And these golden pipes extend out of the candlesticks to the trees, and the oil or olive oil flows through the golden pipes into the candlesticks, flows up and then anoints the wicks with the fire of God, giving forth the light, the brilliance, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, being that oil, coming out of the olive tree, lighting up and giving forth the tremendous message that God gave them to give. There you are. Who is it? Two anointed ones standing before the Lord of the whole earth. Before we get to the end of that, go back with me to chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. 3:8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, men of wonder. Those two anointed ones that stand before the whole earth, that calls them anointed ones, but it also means sons of oil, the sons of oil that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. And here we find they are wondered at men. For behold, I bring forth my servant, the branch. Now look at that word branch. Isn't that kind of funny? What's that? You don't find something like that very often. That's B-R-A-N-C-H. And each letter is capitalized. Well, why would you do that? We don't even capitalize the word God or Christ with each letter. We just make the first letter capital. What's so special about a word like branch that all the letters would become capitalized letters? Somebody must think that's pretty important. The branch. The branch must have some tremendous destiny to perform. In Zechariah chapter 6, go over two pages to the right, we find the branch and we find his destiny. We know that the branch is to hold, and these candlesticks are to hold, and it's Zechariah who is to hold a plummet in his hand and build a house. in chapter 6, verse 12, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and shall bear the glory." Now what's glory? Light, aura, ray, white light. Isn't that right? Are you getting the picture? All right. "And shall sit and rule upon his throne. Jesus said to him that overcometh, Will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Now look at the last part. "And the counsel of peace shall be between them both." Who's that talking about? There must be two people on this throne. And they're both in common harmony with each other. One is the branch, giving forth the glory of God. It just told you in chapter 4, the last verse, two anointed ones, two sons of oil, that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. We know the name of the first anointed one. His name is Jesus Anointed. The word Christ means anointed. His name is the Anointed Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. But this scripture says the counsel shall be between them both. Two anointed ones standing before the Lord of the whole earth. Who then is that second anointed one?
Branch.
Which, oh, the branch. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The candlestick, therefore, is the church. The church that exhibits the seven spirits of God, upon whom the light of the glory of the God is going forth right now. Hallelujah, that makes me feel religious. He said it's like a stone. A mountain, building, yes, but a stone. And upon the stone are engraved seven eyes. Well, we saw in the book of Revelation that it was a lamb, and he had seven, which are the seven. And this time the stone has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. So now we know that there's to be a stone. And the stone is to see with the church. But Daniel saw that stone, and he said, "I saw a stone carved out of a mountain without hands." Don't you understand what that means? No human made this stone, for this stone is the Son of God. And this stone came rumbling down the mountain, crushed the feet of that great image, ground them to powder, took over the kingdoms. Yes, thou, O king, art the head of gold, Babylon. Yes, Medes and Persians. Yes, Greeks. Yes, Romans. And yes, ten-toed kingdoms. But you don't stand a chance. When that stone rolls over you, for all the kingdoms of this earth, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and Lord of all. That stone then crushes those feet, and the stone itself begins to grow, and it becomes a great mountain, and finally gets so big that it fills the whole earth. and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the little pebble, whose name was Peter, said, "We are lively stones set in that building. We are members of that body, and as each joint supplies the other's need, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, work together to get the job done." Who then are the two witnesses that were to give forth a great powerful message to the whole world for 3.5 periods of time, then fall over dead, not having any force, very, very little influence except the form of God? You know, they can still see him. You understand they're still godly, don't you? They've got this form of God, just no power, nothing going on. Then it says they're going to stand to their feet and start to give forth a brilliant witness all over again. There was a golden pipe hooked to us several hundred years ago. And those golden pipes, when they reached up, got hold of the power source like a trolley wire. And the golden oil flowed through those golden pipes. And the witness went forth. But then a devil came up and broke those golden pipes, stopping the flow of oil. Isn't that what it said in Revelation? And without any oil, the lampstands just fit over in the corner of some basement somewhere or in an attic, useless to the whole world. Nate, I want you to know there's a heavenly plumber. And he's got some golden union joints. And he's hooking those broken ends together right now. Hallelujah. And the trickle of the golden oil has begun to flow in these candlesticks as that golden oil of the power of the Holy Spirit, as an earnest of our inheritance, is flowing back into the church right now. I think the church, instead of laying down, is at about a 15-degree angle and coming up live and well, sir. And as that heavenly plumber finishes his job, gets all those union joints all tight, then they'll open the floodgates of heaven. And a flow of oil will flow into these candlesticks and give forth a brilliant light which will bring all men into the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. For many saviors, plural, shall come from Mount Zion, Obadiah 21, to judge the Mount of Esau. And this many-membered body will be that second anointed body which stands before the Lord of the whole earth. I just feel so good right now, I want to get my golden pipes up. Anybody want to stand up with me and just get your golden pipe up right now? Go ahead. Hook up to the power source right now. Touch the trolley wire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What great salvation. What a tremendous salvation you've brought to us and to this world. And Lord, as the golden oil flows through these pipes, we pray, Lord, that that supernatural fire of God from off the altar of God will ignite these wicks again. And giving forth brilliant light, we shall bring all men to the knowledge of the Lord. We trust you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.